All right. We were in a couple of weeks ago. We had talked about now that that John was in prison, much had changed. And in Matthew, what I want us to understand is we need to be careful when we read as far as timing. And as I studied this week, I would see a difference in one verse and another to where a lot had to happen between those two verses. And I'm going to give you an example tonight. If you go to Matthew chapter 4 and look at verse 10. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, the Word of God says, everybody there? It says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Now we know at this point what happened. There's the temptation, and Satan fled after that. But between this verse and verse 11 and verse 12, the next verse, there's a lot that had to have taken place. Or maybe even before that, but we just know it didn't just all of a sudden something happen again. We're so accustomed to putting things into chapters. We're so accustomed into, well, I'm going to read this chapter. And a lot of times we can take the Word of God out of context if we stop where man has put verses and chapters. You can miss so much. You got to remember, this is a letter written. There were no chapters. There were no verses. Right? And so it's important to realize to know where to stop even. In verse 12, in the same chapter, it says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea, and which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light." Now remember this verse here. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of the death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now all this that we just read is post-John being cast into prison. This is you'll see what we're about to read in the book of John. You're going to see some differences in when this took place. Now I showed you last week, we talked about how when we read in verse 12, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee." And we talked about the fact that, hold it now, because if you go to John chapter 1, you'll see where these disciples had been met before by Christ. Okay? This, when Christ came back to the disciples, he had already seen them once. I always grew up thinking, well, same thing, means the same thing. But before John's cast into prison, you don't see any of that in Matthew. But in the book of John, you'll see so much that was done that leads up to verse 12. And that's what I want us to see. Go to John chapter 1. I'm kind of just playing it right off the cuff tonight, so you have to forgive me. I'm usually Mr. Note Taker. But I'm kind of skimming some because I want to get as much done as I can. But there's so much that I want you to see that takes place before Jesus, before John is cast into prison. Okay? Because I think the rest of the book of Matthew can become very clear to you on certain things. In John 1:19, what you'll see is it says, "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou?" Now one thing to remember in verse 19, what's it start at the beginning? "And this is" what? "The record of John." If you're not careful, you'll read this and you will think that this is exactly what's going on right now as progression. But this is a record. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, you'll see what is that? It's the record of what? Creation. Okay, and then it starts over and you see it progressing. That's what's going on here in this book of John in the first chapter, to know all that went on. So we're going to read this and I want you to see some things, okay? In John 1:19, we're going to read for a little bit. It says, "And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ." The reason he said that, there have to have been many that believed he was the Christ. Now, this is a record, so it's not live. It's something that's been recorded. Okay? Verse 21 says, "And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou a prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me." I love that fact. The fact that when he says that is, look, the one that I am talking about, even though you don't know him, he's before me. He was here way before I was, okay? But he says, "Who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to who?" What's the subject here? It's not about the world. It's about him being manifested as the king to Israel. Why? Because Israel was going to be the light unto the world, unto the Gentiles, had they all believed that he was the Messiah, right? But they didn't, and so here's where we're at today. But he says in verse 31, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record," again, it's a record, "saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." So now, we see this all the way through 34, and we see this testimony of who John knows who the Lamb of God is, who the Messiah is. And the issue is he's speaking of this encounter, and it's not to anybody but to Israel that he's speaking of. And John continually mentions one thing of how he baptizes, and what is it? It's with water, right? How often does he mention Jesus and the importance of baptizing with water? He talks about Jesus baptizing with the Holy Spirit, because they're different baptisms, right? We'll get into that another day. Go to John 1. Let's finish in this thing here now. Now, I just read, hold your place in John 1:35. Now remember, I just read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee." Well now, in verse 35 it says, "Again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples," these are John's disciples, right? "And two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. It's interesting here when you see this word Cephas, just to remind ourselves as we're reading this, Peter is named Peter. And he's called Peter all through this when he becomes one of these leaders, okay? In Acts chapter 2 and on through. But when Peter stands in Paul's defense about Paul's gospel, what happens? You never see his name as Peter anymore. They call him Cephas. Okay, they had an issue with him being Peter anymore, didn't they? Those that did not believe that Paul was who he was, when Peter stood with Paul finally in Acts chapter 15, he's called Cephas by his people from there on out. Right? It's kind of interesting. Here you see Cephas and you see the name changing. But anyway, I just thought it was kind of interesting to point out. Verse 43, The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Now get this, verse 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now what we've seen in this chapter is a record of events that took place. Okay? You can't read it as this is like a progression, even though there is some progression there, okay? But it's also a record of events of a lot of things happening in between too. Okay? So you've got to understand that. But one thing I want you to notice is, right off the bat, what did the Jews always look for? A sign. Remember that as you say this. The Jews always required, what's the Scripture say? A sign. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 1? The Jews require a sign. Right? And so that's what you'll see. And you'll start seeing through this all the time. You'll notice them looking for a sign. Looking for a wonder. Looking for a miracle. After Paul's prison epistles, you don't see signs, wonders, or miracles. Why? The Word of God is complete. It's finished. You find all your answers in the Word of God. And so you'll see that through history, through progression. But anyway, go back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, where we were just at, now we saw in 35, John 1:30, go to Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to read this again, John 1:35, it says, Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked. We know the encounter, there was a time where these guys met Jesus and they walked with him, right? We know that happened by this record, right? And John was with them, right? Because they were with John, right? So we know John wasn't in prison at the time they're meeting Jesus, these disciples, right? Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 4 and look at verse 12, it says, Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zabulon and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, The land of Zabulon and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now look at this next verse. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he had said saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So how many times did Jesus run into these guys? At least twice. Because this time John was in prison. So the one thing it shows me is, although in Matthew, where you see in Matthew chapter, I'm terrible tonight. Whatever. In Matthew chapter 4, okay, we know before that a lot of stuff took place. We know, for one, Jesus had already met these disciples before he told them to drop their nets and he'll make them fishers of men. Right? We know that because here John had been in prison in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Okay? And so you wonder what took place. It wasn't like Jesus was tempted and then all of a sudden he decides. The thing is, remember what Jesus started to preach. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So I have to believe that after Jesus met these disciples, He was not preaching that message yet. John the Baptist was. But he was not yet preaching that particular message. As it says, he began to teach that message. So he had an encounter with these disciples. And when he came back and the time was right, then he told those disciples and then they followed him. Right? They knew who he was. So they didn't drop their nets and just start following somebody they didn't know. They were introduced before. And when Christ came and the time was right, they dropped their nets and they followed. Does that not make more sense to you? Now, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, I know. But it leads up to where I'm going now. Because when I saw that, there are so many other things that took place also before Jesus started this in Matthew chapter 4 that you can find in the book of John. Okay, and it'll make Matthew just that much more clear to me. So here comes this call to service. Okay? To follow him, right? And we know it's when John's in prison. It wasn't the first encounter, though, that Christ had with the disciples. Sometimes when we read these accounts, we forget that many verses may have a lot of gaps that haven't been mentioned. They are looking at Christ in a different perspective. That's where you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each letter will look at a different perspective or a different ministry. Timing, though, if known, will perfect these scriptures. Don't forget what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16-17, about the scriptures being perfect, right? That we're truly furnished. Don't forget what Romans talks about all scripture is important, right? For us to understand why is where it is and what's where it is and what's going on and who and everything to understand the scriptures. Or you'll be deceived. There is so much that has already happened before John is in prison, and we're just in Matthew chapter 4 that you don't see. If you just read Matthew, you wouldn't realize this stuff. That's why it's important to study the Word. So what I want to see, I want us to go back to John and start in chapter 2 and see some things. And I'm not in no big hurry to get through or whatever, but there's some things I want you to see as we go through this that will lead you right up to Matthew chapter 4, I believe. It's really kind of cool because you can almost take these chapters. What I see is John 1, 2, 3, and more than likely some of 4 and maybe 5, but I believe it's the early part of chapter 4, is before Matthew chapter 4 verse 12 starts. Now, I believe you can find that in perfect sequence if you study it. So we're going to look at that real quick. In John, and you want to stop me in something? Go ahead. This isn't anything that's just so major, you know. But it's just what I want it to do is when you study Matthew as we go through this book, that it's so clear what has taken place, so you don't miss anything. So by the time we're done, we may be through with all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, John chapter 2. Okay. And we just finished verse 51. It says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, what was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep, and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. So we know as we're reading this, Jesus is preaching. He is teaching. Okay? It's just the issue, he's not teaching the same thing that was in Matthew chapter 4. Right? He is still speaking and talking and bringing up the kingdom and bringing up things that many probably did not understand. Look at verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign, remember what we talked about a while ago? What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Well, of course, they're going to think he's crazy here. Why? What do the Jews require? A sign. See, when we get, it's so funny, people think that all the gospel is one gospel. Okay, they think there's only one good news. Preachers will hold up this Bible and they'll say, this is the gospel. Well, if the Jews require a sign, and those things that they seek after, signs, wonders, and miracles, that's because that's the only thing that they knew. That's what they knew. It never changed. In Acts it says they continued to what? To learn those things only of what? John the Baptist taught. And we expect all of a sudden this one conglomerate church come together and that like we're Israel. Paul's gospel is totally different. He even says in 1 Corinthians that the Jews require a sign, where there were no more signs. When the word was complete, it was complete. That which is complete is that which is in part is done away, right? So you see right here, and as we read Matthew and we go through John, you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. And these are things that are happening. Look, the first miracle happened before Matthew chapter 4, right? And here again, we're at the temple. You won't see that in Matthew, but there was something that was going on. These Jews wanted a sign. They wanted to know. That's how they based on whether it was truth or not. What did it say? The disciples believed what? When the water turned to wine, what happened? Well, then they believed on Him. Right? We believe those things which we can't see. Our faith is not by sight. Right? So there's a difference you can see in these Gospels. Anyway, it says, in verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? I bet they were just like, oh, whatever. You know, could you imagine seeing that, you know? It took that long to build that, and Jesus said, you can see the kind of the humor in this, because I'd give one of those blank stares probably, you know. Verse 21, but he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. Well, this is one of those things that are bore record. It didn't happen yet, but then there's this memory. says, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. You notice something had to happen first? Something had to happen. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in what? Let me tell you what. This is huge. When I started rightly dividing the word, I saw one thing that stood out over everything else. Here it was all about what? The resurrection? It was all about the name. Even there was even power in the name of Jesus. I've heard many preachers say that they'll get the whole congregation and they'll move them emotionally and tell them just name Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. Well, it was huge in times past. But let me tell you what today, the name of Jesus will not save you, will it? What saves you today is trusting that He was the Christ, that He forgave you of all your sins. All right? And that He was dead, buried, and resurrected. But you will see today, preachers preach all the time about the name of Jesus. Well, the issue is they were to believe on the name. Now, we're going to get there, but notice what it says right here. In verse 23, now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed what? In His name. That was major necessity. When they saw the miracles which He did. When did they believe in His name? When they saw the miracles which He did. Okay, everything was so physical. Okay? Verse 25. And needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. Now, let's go to John chapter 3, and this becomes the most famous verse in the world. We'll get to 3:16. But everybody stops and doesn't go to verse 17 and 18. And the issue is, this letter written to you or is it written for you? This is for you. This is to the Jews. Everything we've read about is to the Jews, to the Jews, to the Jews. John chapter 3. Here's our next thing. There was a man of Pharisees. Now so far, I'm just going to write this down. So far we've seen a couple things. Right? We've seen miracles. Right? Before Matthew chapter 4, we see miracles. Now it'll continue to go on. But this is we see miracles. We see what? The name. Right? Isn't that right? We see miracles in the name so far. Anything else that I'm missing that we've touched on? I can't remember. Y'all help me remember if I do. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again. You must, I heard all my life about being born again. Never mentioned in Paul's epistles. Israel will be born again. They'll be resurrected in the days of refreshing, right? They will be born again. We are a new creature. Right? All old things have passed away. If you are going to be born again, okay? I always took this and I always thought, wow, that's cool. And we pray to be born again. Paul's epistles never mention about being born again. Being born again is pretty physical, isn't it? It's a physical thing that happens, doesn't it? Israel, those who have died in their faith, in the times of refreshing, they're going to be resurrected. They're going to be born again. They're going to be a kingdom of priests that are going to become a light unto the world, right? And they're going to be saved as they're born again. And this makes so much sense. But always, all my life, I've been taught, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. We're a new creature. We're not born again. Why? Because we're going to be taken out of here, right? With a new body. A heavenly body. Those things that are spiritual, right? So we know that. But you'll start seeing miracles. The name of Jesus. Born again. You'll see all these in everything that was written to Israel. Right? He says, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, is the issue with us the kingdom of, is our gospel the gospel of the kingdom? Not at all. And to see the kingdom of God, they're going to have to be born again, right? Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And I would like to stay on this law, but I'm not going to for tonight. We'll cover that later. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness? If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the issue is believing what? In His name. In miracles. Why did they believe? Because of what they saw, right? And if they believed in what they saw, they were to become faithful, and they would one day be born again, right? That's the whole times of refreshing. Well, let's prove it by John 3:16 that we've read all our life. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, where does that take you always? To what? The birth of Jesus? God gave His Son from heaven to earth, to come to earth, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a truth. That is a very true Scripture. Verse 17, For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's a truth. Verse 18, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Well, let's finish reading. Let's not take John 3:16 out of context. Because verse 18 says, Because he hath not believed in what? The name of the only begotten Son of God. Not because he had not believed that He died for our sins and rose again. Right? Because it hadn't happened yet, has it? They can't believe in what they've not seen. Right? A lot of people say, well, the Bible, it just leads all the way up to the cross. Everything leads to the cross. Well, they wouldn't believe unless they saw. Right? Jesus told them time and time again what He's going to do, and what happened? It was hid from them. Right? They didn't understand what the Scripture's saying. Right? So the issue is they believed in the name. They believed in the name when they saw the miracles. And that's just through Israel's program, that's what was to happen. And they stayed in their faith, doing those things that Moses had them to do, doing the things that John the Baptist taught them to do. They died in their faith. One day they'll be born again if they died in their faith. Right? And that's to Israel. That's to Israel. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In closing, because I'm running out of time, I know, go to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 1, in verse 9, because everybody thinks this is the universal scripture that saves the world. Right? I was told this scripture 100 times before I ever came to the truth and the knowledge, the fact that it's not about the name. It's about, I do believe in the name of Jesus, don't get me wrong, but I believe in much more than that. They didn't believe because they hadn't seen. But in 1 John, if you read this, this is prophecy of what's going to happen when they are perfected in Christ. These are things that are written about when they're on this kingdom. And then, if you'll notice in 1 John chapter 1, 9, have you ever heard this verse? See the condition? If we confess our sins, He is faithful. Was Christ faithful at the cross? Which one is it? If we confess our sins, He's faithful? Or that He was already faithful at the cross? Well, maybe this doesn't pertain to you, but pertains to Israel. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. What's the next? And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know, if you read the first part of this, the first chapter of this, it's all about the name. It's not about the cross. It doesn't even mention the cross. 1 John don't mention the cross, does it? Were you saved by the cross or are you saved by the name? Which one is it? Because it says, if you go from verse 7. Do you remember the verse I just... Go to chapter 1, verse 7. And while you're there, I'm going back to one thing we just read. Staying there, now notice what is said after John 3:16. In verse 19 it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, see the condition? If, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Well, look at chapter 1 where you're at right now and go to verse 6. If we say, see the condition? If. If you do this, then this will happen. Let me tell you something. If you think you have to do something in order to receive salvation, then the cross is made of none effect. So there has to be two different gospels here. One has to be to Israel, to when they're resurrected, they're going to be born again. Well, when I was saved, the Holy Spirit came into me, right? And I became a new creation. I was crucified with Christ, yet I live. But it's not me who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. I'm already in heavenly places, right? The only thing good in me is the manifestation of Christ that comes out of me, right? Look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, doesn't it sound just like what I read in verse 19? Why? Because it's to Israel. That's for us to understand, to see the difference in Paul's epistles being grace. There's no great if. Okay, it says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Over and over and over, there's conditions all in 1 John. Were the conditions met at the cross for our eternal salvation? If we add anything to those conditions, is that a gospel at all? It's not grace at all. These guys had to meet conditions. The Jews required a sign. They looked for something. They believed on the name. I can't remember exactly where it is, but there's, Steve, you may help me. There's one area that continues talking about believing in the name. And it's in 1 John.
In 1 John?
I thought so.
It's 1 John 5:13.
That's it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Israel had to believe on the name. Christ was not crucified in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until the end. They had to believe on the name. When they saw what he did, they believed on him. And they had to continue in their faith and do these things. And they continued to follow those things that John the Baptist taught. Right? In closing, there's a difference. Go to Galatians chapter 2. And in Galatians, I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 2. Look at the difference in Paul and the other apostles that were taught the same things that John the Baptist taught. Verse 6. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were to me, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, well that means but opposite. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. There must be something different here. There must be two different gospels here, right? Well, what we're reading of in John is we're seeing that things that happened, okay, before Matthew chapter 4. So a lot went on right at the beginning before John was in prison. As we go through this book of Matthew, the one thing I want you to see is although we're seeing all these things that were required of them, they were not required of you. Right? And those are things you have to know. And in John, as we read these things, as we continue to read, and I didn't get anywhere through where I wanted to, because I even wanted to go to Luke. But I want you to see what took place before John was in prison. So the rest of Matthew makes a lot of sense. Because it did to me. There's one thing that something kind of interesting that I thought was neat. And we'll get this next week. When you get to John chapter 4, you're going to see another thing that was different. I'll tell you what, just real quick, it says in John chapter 4, verse 44. That's the thing that's interesting. Another gap, I believe. Verse 44 says, "For Jesus Himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country." Now look at the next verse. "Then when he was coming to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast." Something had to happen somewhere in between there, right? Wouldn't you think? So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick, and it goes on into this, but between 44 in 43, first it says there's no honor, and then all of a sudden, he's in the place where he was from. Right? If you go to Luke, you can find the gap between there of what happens. He goes in there, and he's wroth and taken out, but then he comes back when they saw all the things he does. And we'll touch on that, and you'll see every bit of that. Luke chapter 4, this is the interesting thing to me. Matthew 4, John 4, and Luke 4 all bring you to that one place where you can see the history of it all taking place. I think it makes it easy to remember. I don't know if it's some kind of mysterious thing or not. I just think it's neat how you can remember scriptures and see John more than likely was in prison at the first of chapter 4. In Matthew 4, it mentions John being in prison. In Luke 4, you see where Jesus goes into, back out, and back into. And that's where he calls him himself. So a lot happens in Matthew chapter 4, before Matthew chapter 4. If you just kept reading and you just saw, well, he was tempted in the desert and then John the Baptist is in prison. There's a lot that happened in those areas. Before chapter 4, you saw what? Miracle, water into wine, right? You saw Nicodemus about being born again. You saw the Jews looking for a miracle. You saw him believing on his name. You saw the issue of water baptism. You see, you just see all these things. That as you get to Matthew chapter 4 now, you'll see it over and over and over and over again. All these conditions that Israel had to meet. My question is, in closing, is if the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is directly to us for our doctrine, okay? And we say this is how we live. What conditions are you not meeting? You either meet those conditions. If you're under the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses and what John the Baptist did, you're going to fall from your faith just like Israel did. You know why Israel will not fall from their faith when you see the times of refreshing? Why? They'll be perfected in Christ. Those that died in their faith will be born again like Christ. Right? So they won't have that problem. But they did, and you will too. Because you can't meet the conditions. If Israel couldn't meet the conditions, why do you think you could? And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is above all the conditions that Israel had to meet, knowing they were going to fail, and still put Christ on the cross. Why? So you could be saved. So you don't have to meet any conditions. The issue is now we trust in what Christ did at the cross. Not just in the name, but that He forgave us of our sins. There's no need for, if I do something wrong, I may tell you I'm sorry. I may ask you to forgive me. But the issue of my salvation, having to go to Christ to confess all my sins, I can't remember them all. I cannot meet that condition, and neither can you, and neither could they. They couldn't do it. That's why their sins went into remission. They had to do it again the next year. They went into remission. They had to do it again the next year. Let me tell you what, when I sin now and I know I sin, you know what I do? I just rejoice in the fact you forgave me. I know it's wrong. But I don't have to worry about my condition of my salvation when Christ took care of it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is full of conditions that you don't have to meet and that they couldn't meet. And they will be saved, those who died in their faith. They'll be born again. But you will not be born again. If you think you will, you're going to find out you're really wrong. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. If it happens right then, when you trust in what Christ did at the cross, are you saved right then? Then how can you be born again if you're already a new creature? You can't have both. It's one or the other. And today, all along America, preachers will tell you, well, I know you're a new creature, but still, you still need to be born again. Paul's epistles never mention being born again. Right? So you'll see this from here on out. What you're going to start seeing is after John's in prison, you're going to see Jesus trying to bring what's going to be the new covenant. By the way, you're not part of a covenant either. Okay? We're in grace. The new covenant is... The old covenant was to who? Israel. Well, it must be the new covenant must be to who? Israel. You're not part of a covenant. Okay? We're in smack dab in the middle of the dispensation of grace. When we're out of here, guess what starts? The tribulation, then the new covenant. But, again, the issue is, those covenants are not to us. We can't meet the credentials. We're not Israel.